Anybody? Okay, come on up, Noah. Okay, would you bring up the scripture? Please stand up here so they can see you. Thank you, Noah. Okay, can you read that from back here? Mm-hmm. Okay, let me just read it a little loud.
Jeremiah 12:5. If you have run with footmen and they have tired you out, then how can you compete with horses? If you fall down in land of peace, how will you do in the thicket of the Jordan?
Okay, what does that mean? Okay, so if you have run with footmen and they have, you know what a footman is? No. They run alongside a carriage and stuff and they're always hustling. So he says you've run along with them. So it's like jogging. How can you compete with horses? How do you think you would do if you were racing against a horse?
I'd lose.
Wait a minute, let me get this. What?
I'd lose.
And if you fall down in land of peace, so like when everything's going really well for you and it's peaceful, what do you think, have you ever been in like a really thick brush where there's stickers and stuff and it's hard to get out?
Yes.
Okay. So he says, how will you do in the thicket of the Jordan? What do you think that is? What do you think he's saying? Like, you're going to go into that thicket, but what does he mean?
I don't really know.
Okay. Neither do they. And, okay, thank you very much, Noah. Neither do we. I am, you've heard it a million times, but so many, when you come to Christ, Peter says, don't be surprised by these fiery ordeals that beset you, as though some strange phenomena were coming upon you. So here you are, I'm a Christian. Why is everything going so wrong? Why are things not working out? I'm a Christian. I believe. What is it? Here's what you signed up for. Okay, I want everybody to stand up, please. Oh, come on, Kevin. Yeah, please. All right. I want you to think of yourself as a bull. I just want you to drag your foot back and forth. Both of them. You're ready to go. You're looking at something that you're going to, because you're going to compete with horses. When Brad Dacus is on the radio dealing with the culture, people are calling in and they've got all these, he's dealing with horses, even though he's one man. Dig it in. Get a little bit ferocious about that. Fight, the good fight of faith. Thank you. Let me sit down. How will you do in the thicket of the Jordan? We are not called to the Disneyland life. We are called to the thicket of the Jordan, a place that has difficulty and struggles. We sing our hymns through many trials, toils, and snares. And so this is the journey. The great news is in this world you have tribulations. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. There's nothing beyond his reach. Now I want to go back into this area of faith that we talked about a couple of weeks ago. And so if you turn to Hebrews chapter 11, or just lift your eyes up, while you're doing that, would you give Peter a hand, because he's become your Bible at church. Okay, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen. For by it men of old gained approval. The first thing is, walking in faith in every circumstance, this is how you gain approval with God. It's not so much, sometimes we're in a bind and we're looking to get out of it. God is as much interested in our attitude in the midst of the journey as he is the outcome. We're focused on the outcome. I got to get a job. My child has to come back. I've got to get this. And when that comes, everything, he's not even there yet. He's saying, walk by faith, trust me. The storm, the waves are lapping over the side of the boat, but men of old gained approval. Caleb and Joshua said, wait a minute, no, the land's good. The Lord our God will fight for us. Jehoshaphat the whole worship team went out ahead of the army and said, the Lord God will fight for you. That's faith. By it, men of old gained approval. Keep going. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what was seen was not made out of things which are visible. That means that God Almighty created everything seen and unseen. All the theories on creation, all the things on science, there's so much in a lot of that sort of thing, but I'm just saying by faith, however we come down, God made it all. Everything you see that's visible or invisible, in heaven or above or below, God made it. We talk about Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain because it was the blood that was the block. The blood that is the, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. Through which he obtained a testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts. And through faith, though he's dead, he still speaks. I'm talking about Abel, and it's thousands and thousands of years since he was here. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see God, not see death. And he was not found because God took him up. For he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. Next verse. Okay, without faith, this is really important. I've been emphasizing it, and I've often said there's no second-hand revelations, okay? So you can get this mentally. You could get it right on a test paper. But it's really important that you and I know in our spirit that without faith, it's impossible to please him. I often ask, am I walking in faith with you on this, Lord? Or is this me controlling it? Is this me acting like it? Is this me being religious? Is this me having right VRG. It used to be called verbalized religious garbage, where I can talk it, but not really walk it. In other words, without faith, it's impossible. Not unlikely. Not hard. But impossible. Now, I was saved by grace. Unmerited favor. Through something called faith. I wasn't saved on the basis of my works. I wasn't saved because I was good enough, and I wasn't saved because I was better than other people. I was saved because of his unmerited favor through something called faith, this substance, which at some point in my life, and I know in your life, I too took off my shoes and got on holy ground. Kevin. And he came into my life and he changed my life. So when we sing all these songs about there's nothing he can't touch, he changes the night to day, he does all, I believe it because I've lived it and know it, and I know you do too. So I can't please him if I just walk in logic. I certainly can't please him if I walk in a mental assent. I can't please him with a positive mental attitude. I really can't please him by trying not to be so negative. I can't please him by visualizing something I want and call that faith. I see this. You know, I mean, there's visions and then there's visual. You hear all this stuff. It's not necessarily faith. I can't please him just by being spiritually trained or belonging to the right church or the right organization or the right mission team. I please him by something called faith, which is a substance, a reality, assurance, a conviction. In Ephesians 3:12, it says, in whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in him. So your boldness with God, coming before him, not with your head down because you're not worthy and all this other stuff, but you come before him like a little child that runs up to a parent. You come in faith, knowing that he receives you gladly. He receives you gladly. He is waiting for that to happen. Just run into him. He wants that. He loves that. I think one of God's love languages is touch. We talked about that at the marriage retreat, but he wants to touch you. He wants you to touch him. Who mumbled amen? Somebody did. It was good. So let's go over this a little bit. It's how we get and gain approval by faith. And he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Most people here are in some type of career arc. They're in a business or even a family type situations, ladies. And what you're trying to do, you're trying to gain approval. In other words, with your company or whatever, you're doing things for the customers, for the productivity, for the profit margins. And when you get approval, how many like to have approval? Approval is a really good thing to have in the marketplace. Oh, that's a great company, or that's a great family, or that's a great. But that's how they did it. They gained approval through faith, and in faith you believe that he's a rewarder, that he's rewarding you. It's not quid pro quo where you're working out some kind of formula with God, but you believe. I just believe that you reward me because you love me, and that reward may not be chocolate chip ice cream. It may not be your favorite thing. Because when you think of reward, you think of only positive. Only things you really like. So God rewards me. He blessed me with this. He blessed me with that. What about the blessing of betrayal that Joseph went through? What Paul went through? There was blessing in that. Paul talked about the fellowship of his sufferings. There was blessing. So when you go through something, it really can be, and so often is, a blessing. I've told people this before. I've been at this a long time, not just here, but I've been at it for many, many years as a pastor and leader. And there are some people that pretty much drove me insane. Nobody in this room, okay? Are you out of here? Yeah, you're not here anymore. There are some people that just absolutely drove me nuts. And I mean, it was always like, oh, gosh. And I'd go through this thing, and I'd give it to God and all this other stuff, but this is a confession I never wanted to make. I owe more to them than almost anybody. They made me dig deeper in God than anybody, because they were so hard to love, because they were so arrogant, because they were so presumptive, because they were so this and so that. And I'm not saying that to just tear them up. They really were. They really were. And I'm sitting here, and my natural man wants to use natural means to eliminate them from my screen. And I'm not allowed to do that because I walk by faith, and I've got to trust that God is working in this. And so in my weakness, I become stronger. In my bearing up under something, I become stronger, and it becomes a blessing in my life. Every story here that has a story of conflict and difficulty, that's what you really talk about. That was your blessing. Now, we do give praise to God when, we're on the mountaintop and everything happens, and that's wonderful too. And that's a day of jubilee and all that, but I'm saying that his blessing comes through his approval. He's a rewarder of what you do as you walk in faith. And when in James, when he says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you can encounter various trials. knowing something, that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect work, that you be complete, lacking in nothing. So then he says, consider it all joy. So here we are again, that it's not joyful what you're going through. But consider it all joy because you know something, that the testing of your faith is producing something. This is not for naught. God is not in heaven just going, take that. That's not enough. Come on. You know, some people think that's what God is doing. No, he's in heaven. He's going, come here. Okay, give me some water. Okay, it's the clay. The clay is hard. I've got to soften up the clay. I've got to mold this thing. And I'm the potter. I know what I'm doing. You're the clay. So I want to say that don't ever forget that is how you gain approval, walking by faith. And that approval is not, I'm not talking just about men. Men may honor you for your faith. Men may say wonderful things to you about it. But I'm talking about between you and God, that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. If you seek God diligently, first of all, you have to know what the word means. Diligent. Come on, I know you all know that. What does it mean? What does it mean? Diligently. Hardly. Okay, so be diligent to show yourself approved, like rightly dividing the word of truth. That's like being diligent to study the scriptures. So he tells to be diligent in that. He says the diligent shall rule. He says little sleep, little slumber, little folding of your hands to rest, and then your poverty comes upon you like an armed robber. But he's telling us to be diligent. So diligent is a consistency. That diligence transfers over to marriage and family and every phase of our life. But in seeking him, he's a rewarder. He will reward you. He will. What that reward is, what it looks like, I don't control it. And if you seek him, if you seek him in order to get banana splits and pay raises, you may, because he loves you, he might spoil you a little bit the way a grandparent spoils a little kid or something, but he won't keep you there because your teeth will rot. You'll look terrible. He is actually disciplining you. And so when you came to Christ, you did not come for a fairy tale good time thing. You came to have a relationship with the living God. You took off your shoes. You got on holy ground. And you said, you're the king, and you created me. I'm a sheep, and you're a pastor. And I'm going to walk by faith all the days of my life until there's no breath left. There are many things about faith. Bring up Mark chapter 9, verse 2. Jesus takes Peter and James and John up to the Mount of Transfiguration, and he has a visitation from Elijah and Moses. Don't ask me to explain that. And if you can't explain it, I'm a little worried about you. They appear, and it says his raiment was like white. And, of course, Peter being not prudent all the time, says, this is wonderful that we're here. We should make monuments. And then the heaven opens up and God speaks, and he said, this is my beloved son. Listen to him. And it scared the disciples, and they shut up. They knew that they were on a holy ground. Well, when they came down, not long afterwards, he ran into, there was a boy that was foaming at the, I've got the wrong scripture, actually, but don't worry about it. The boy was foaming at the mouth and being thrown into the fire, and the disciples were praying for him. And Jesus comes down, and the father comes and says, this is actually Mark chapter 9. Was that where I got you? Okay. All right, we'll keep going. Peter? Okay, right there. And one of the crowd asked, "Teacher, I brought you my son possessed with the spirits which makes him mute. Whenever it seizes him, it slams him to the ground." Imagine this being your kid. "And he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and stiffens out. I told your disciples to cast it out, and they couldn't do it." "He answered them and saying, 'Oh, unbelieving generation, how long shall I be with you? How shall I put up with you? Bring him to me.' They brought the boy to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit threw him into a convulsion, and falling onto the ground, he began rolling around and foaming at the mouth. And he asked the father, 'How long has this been happening to him?' And he said, 'From childhood. It has often thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But here's the key thing. But if you can do anything, if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us.'" Here's Jesus' response. And Jesus said, "If you can," say that with me. If you can do anything, if you can, you come to me and you say, "If you can do anything here, if you can." He says, "All things are possible to him who believes." Continue. "Immediately the boy's father cried out, 'I do believe. Help my unbelief.'" Let's say that. "I do believe. Help my unbelief." So this is not a condemning word that your faith's not strong enough or any of that, but that your faith, that there's something in you as we seek God. "I don't know how you're going to do it, Lord. I ask you to do this, but I don't know how. I don't know what you're doing. I know you're doing. I know you're the God of the whole earth. I know you're moving. I trust, but I don't. It's hard to see." So there's this place of helping in unbelief, even though I believe. Isn't that wonderful that we can be weak and yet made strong just by asking? Faith is observable. In Matthew chapter 9, it says they lowered him through the roof, the paralytic, and they came in, and Jesus was sitting there. He was teaching, and he said, and seeing their faith. Your faith can actually be seen. People, maybe it's happened to you, but there's been a few times in my life where someone said, I wish I had your faith. And what are they talking about? They see your faith. They know you have it. They know it's not a religious game that you have it. So faith can be seen. Your faith can be heard. Bring up Colossians 3:3-4. "For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you will be revealed with him in glory." Keep going. "Therefore, consider members of your..." This is a great scripture, but once again, I'm off base. This hour is absolutely killing me. All right, here we go. Take my word for it. It's in Ephesians 1:15. Your faith can be heard. People hear about your faith. Aaron, people have heard about your faith. This woman has a child with lots of challenges, but this woman has amazing faith. It goes, and I'm going to get further than that, they hear it. Faith can be seen. You get approval. Faith can be seen, and it can be heard. 1 Thessalonians 1:8. We'll try this one, see if I'm on target. If I'm not on this one, I'm not quoting any more scriptures. This one: "For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia, but in Achaia, but in every place your faith towards God has" what? "Gone forth, so that you have no need to say anything." So there's another picture. Your faith is actually working in such a way. It's going forth into places you don't even realize because you're walking in the present tense where you are. And your faith is going beyond yourself. Our faith has substance and action. And your faith through obedience multiplies. If we think about the feeding of the 5,000, that afterwards there was 12 baskets full left. And it starts with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. And Andrew says, what can we, you know, there's a little boy that has this. And how's that even going to work? But there's something about, Jesus says, tell him to sit down. And the next thing you know, the faith multiplies. And it multiplies because of obedience. When we went after this building, you know that initially I didn't want to do it. And then once I really knew that God wanted to, it's almost like stand back, but it was faith working in me and you, and we just watched it multiply, the loaves and the fishes. I mean, at the end of it, remember I asked a number of you who thought that it would never work. Some of the kids were really honest. You said, I don't see how you're going to get that money. I think it was Brad's son. I think, and Adam Jones, where's Adam? Is he in here this morning? Adam said, I don't think it's going to work. And you know what? Because it wouldn't have worked unless faith was involved, unless God had ordained something. And he did that corporately, both. It did it for such a, even, it goes forth because I didn't do anything, and then they did an article in the paper, and then I went to this other church who was facing a lot of financial things, and they wanted to hear how we did this. And so I said, well, we brought in all these consultants, and we did this and that, and we ran this, and, you know, we bought bonds, and we traded this, and we did this. You know, and I took everybody's arm and hammerlocked them to the ground and said, how much can you give? Can you give till it hurts? No. God just did it. He multiplies when we're operating, and there's peace on it. Great faith produces great trust. When the centurion says, they come to Jesus and they tell him, they say, please, this man is a worthy man. He's a good man. His servant is sick. This is one you really should heal. And the thing about the messengers is they had bad theology because they think healing was based upon that. But the reality was none of us are worthy. And the centurion had the revelation. And before they had come back from seeing Jesus, he sends another messenger and says, tell him this, I'm not worthy to come under your roof. Say the word, my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority, and I say go, and he goes. Jesus' response to this centurion, who was not a Jew, most likely, such faith I've never seen in all of Israel. Which, by the way, included the apostles. Faith can be misplaced. Mark 4:35. I lost my wallet this weekend. It's in the car. I didn't lose it. I misplaced it. I lost the car keys a couple days ago. I didn't lose them. I misplaced them. So we get confused sometimes with misplacing. You are a child of God. When you get in a panic mode, it's easy to violate your faith and think you've lost it or you're not operating. You just misplaced it. So on that day when everyone came, he said, let's go to the other side. We're going to go all the way to 41, Peter. So keep going. Leaving the crowd, they took him along with him in the boat just as he was, and the other boats were with him. There arose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat so much that the boat was already filling up. Okay, professional fishermen, the waves are coming over the side. It's scary to them. And the way the Sea of Galilee is, it's a shallow lake, really, and it's surrounded by mountains. And when the winds come in, it can create hurricane-type upheaval. Boats, you know, you've seen pictures, boats perpendicular to the water, it can be very frightening. And there arose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat so much that the boat was already filling up. Jesus himself was in the stern. That's the back. And he's sound asleep. Would someone tell me how you sleep through that? How tired do you have to be? How do you sleep through a storm in a little boat like that where water's filling it? It's splashing all over the place. I mean, what did he have? A little tarp over his ear, head? He's up on the cushion. Just sound asleep. To his beloved, he gives rest. It had been a good day. And he's sound asleep. And they woke up, and they woke him up. Jesus, they woke him up and they said, "Teacher, don't you care that we are perishing?" Every time you get in a storm, the question the devil wants to say is, doesn't he care? Or isn't he ineffective? Or doesn't make any difference? "Teacher, don't you care that we are perishing?" Next. And he got up and rebuked the wind and the sea, and said to the sea, "Hush, be still." And the wind died down, and it became perfectly calm. And he said to them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Wow. That'd been a hard sermon. That's a real practical sermon, hands-on, to get that. Verse 41. They became very much afraid and said to one another, "Who is this then that even the wind and the sea obey him?" He didn't reject them because their faith was weak, but he wanted to show them, if he's in your boat, I don't care who's swamping you. I don't care how bad you think it is. It's fine. He's okay. And if he's asleep because when you pray you feel like the heavens are like brass, that's okay too, because you walk by faith. And there'll come a time when the brass will melt. Our faith is to be increased. I won't go there, but in Luke 17:5, when he's talking about forgiveness, and Peter says, "How many times shall we forgive?" And he said, "Seven times." And seven times 70. And basically they say, increase our faith. They didn't say that about any miraculous prayers. They said it about increasing our faith for forgiveness. I just want to say to this morning, there is nobody in the world that you can't forgive. Nobody. It's up to you. It's up to me. I love God's forgiveness in my life. It takes faith to turn a tremendous hurt and release someone, knowing that God's working. And it takes faith to trust him for that. And when someone has hurt you very deeply, there's a sense of justice in you and me that wants them to pay. And we are, by as believers, backing up and saying, "You paid the price, and by faith, Lord, I can forgive them our trespasses just as I'm forgiven." Faith will be tested. It's built on rock, not sand. One of the great testings of faith is that your feelings override your faith. Don't ever let your feelings be the final indicator of what's right and wrong, because your feelings will go up and down. Feelings are good. They're from God, but feelings themselves are not faith. Peter said, "Nevertheless, at thy word, I'll drop the net down." His perceptions, his feelings were there was no fish there. And then the nets. The boat nearly sank from so many fish. So as we come to a time of prayer this morning, I want to just close with a posture of heart that would say, we're called to fight the good fight. That in the thicket of the Jordan, you're competing with horses. That you are a warrior, you are Xena, the warrior princess this morning, okay? And you are, who else? Who do you want to be, guys? Give me somebody. Hercules, okay. Well, not, yeah. Well, whatever. Who said Hercules? Threw that out. This will be, I want to go to Habakkuk chapter 2. I think this is a good way to approach the future. Okay? I will stand, Kevin Davenport will stand on my guard post, whatever that is. What is your sphere that you stand on? And I'll station myself on the rampart, and I'll keep watch to see what he will speak to me and how I will reply when I'm reproved. Then the Lord answered me and said, record the vision and inscribe it on the tablets that the one who reads it may run. Verse 3, for the vision is yet for the appointed time. Whatever God's doing, he gives us something, but it's oftentimes it's out here. It's for an appointed time. It hastens towards the goal. You know, he said in his word, for as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. All the earth, no matter what we see with on the news again, it's hastening towards the goal, and it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it. That requires faith. For it certainly will come and will not delay. Verse 4. Behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him. But the righteous will what? Live by faith. It's amazing. We've been justified by faith. To each of us has been given a measure of faith. Abides faith, hope, and love. Be on the alert. Be firm in your faith. I live by faith in the Son of God, yet not I, but Christ who lives within me. Galatians tells us it's faith working through love. And we are called to fight this fight, the good fight of faith. At the end of Paul's life, after he had been through so much, he said, I have kept the faith. Let's stand.